tonight, please, in God's Word to John's Gospel, chapter number 8. John's Gospel, chapter number 8. And with God's Word open before us, let us just look to the Lord briefly in prayer. Heavenly Father, we rejoice tonight that Thou, Lord, art upon the throne. We rejoice, O God, tonight that Thou art sovereign. And that, Lord, we can come to Thee and we can say, like one of old, Thou, God, seest me. And Lord, Thou dost know our hearts tonight. Thou dost know our needs tonight. And Father, we're praying, O God, by the might of Thy Holy Spirit, through Thy Word, Lord, and through Thy truth, that Thou, Lord, will come Thyself, Lord, and break the bread of life to our souls. May it be meat and manna from heaven to every believer, every child of God, to encourage us on in the Christian life, to live for Thee. But, O God, for any in our gathering not saved, any listening in online unsaved, O God, we pray tonight through Thy Word, through Thy truth, through the blessing and the applying of Thy Word by the Holy Spirit to hearts, that ones like Timothy of old will be made wise unto salvation, we pray. Grant us a gracious sense of Your presence. Draw very near now, we pray. Still every heart before Thee. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood. Empty me of self and of sin. Fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. And glorify Thy name, the name of our Savior, and all that will be said and done in this meeting tonight. Have Thy way in every heart and every life. We pray these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting this evening is the words of verse number 34 of John's Gospel, chapter number 8. I read that verse with you again. It says, Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, it is an awful thing for a person to lose their freedom and to lose their liberties. And yes, people can lose their freedom through slavery, and slavery is a most sinful thing. Indeed, something that the Word of God forbids and something that the Word of God condemns. And what an awful thing it must be for a person to be in slavery. People also can lose their liberty and their freedoms by being sentenced to jail for crimes committed against society. And also people can lose their liberty through sickness. Indeed, every day we should give God thanks for our health and for our strength. And then there are nations, indeed peoples, who lose their freedom because of persecution, because of war, and because of conflict. Yes, there are many countries around our world tonight where people are in bondage and are oppressed because of false religion and false beliefs and false ideologies of men, such as communism and Islam. If we think also of the present war out in Ukraine, there are people in particular in the east of that land have lost much of their freedom and liberty because of Russia's invasion and aggression toward that country. Within our text here this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ, He speaks of the worst servitude and the worst bondage of all. And that is man's bondage and servitude to sin. Look at what He says in our text. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And in these verses, the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, He is speaking to Jews who believed on Him as Savior. But also He speaks here to those who had rejected Him as Savior. And addressing those in particular who had trusted Him as Savior, He comforts their heart and He encourages their soul by telling them and reminding them of their newfound liberty that they had found in Christ. Look at what verse 31 and verse 32 of the chapter says. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Indeed, speaking of this very same liberty, Romans 8, verse 21, it speaks there of the glorious liberty of the children of God. And what a liberty every child of God has. However, our reading also shows that the unbelieving Jews on this occasion, they take exception. They are offended and they are grieved by these very words of Christ. They take exception to what he has just said. And in doing so, they protest and they say that they were a people who were never in bondage to any man. And you see that in the very next verse, verse 33 of the chapter. And this speaks in particular of those unbelieving Jews who were listening in, who were conversing with Christ at that time. And it says, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" And no doubt that claim that they never were in bondage to any man, it was a false claim. It was a claim that was untrue. Because the Jewish people, yes, they were in bondage for some 400 years to the Egyptians. Also, as a nation, they were in bondage for some 70 years to Babylon. And presently, when Christ was here ministering on earth, they were really a nation in bondage under the oppression of the Roman Empire and the Roman legions. And then following on from this, Christ then reminds the people of their bondage and their servitude to sin as unbelieving Jews. And this he does in our text, where it says in verse 34, "Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Now, people tonight, this bondage and indeed slavery to sin is the worst kind of a captivity. It's the worst of slaveries that can affect mankind. And my, this is a servitude that we all need to consider and think about, because it is recorded for us here in the Scriptures as a warning to us all, the warning of the bondage, the slavery, and the servitude of sin. As we would think then in particular upon this matter tonight, the subject of the servitude of sin, there are three things I want just to set before you tonight briefly in this gospel meeting. First of all, notice here with me the meaning of this servitude to sin. Look again at our text. Christ says, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Notice that word "servant" there that Christ used. It literally means a slave. It literally means a bond slave. So in this verse, the Lord here is talking about man himself being a slave to sin. And that being so, what then does this slavery to sin entail? What does it mean? What is bound up in this bondage, in this servitude, this slavery to sin? Well, we can say this evening that this slavery means that man, yes, is under the guilt of a sin and the condemnation of that guilt and breaking the law of God. He is a slave to the guilt of his sin. You see, God is one who demands perfect obedience to his law and to his commandments. And God is one who proclaims a curse upon every transgressor of his law and of his commandments. In Galatians 3, verse 10, it says, "Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." And people, because of our sinful, fallen nature, as you and I, we have broken God's law, every one of us. And we have broken God's law a multitude of times. Every one of us in this meeting are guilty of transgressing, breaking the law of God in thought and word and in deed. Back there in Isaiah chapter 64 and the verse number 6, Isaiah says there about man and his sin, he says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." There Isaiah speaks of man and his sin, and how he says our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. The fact that we have broken the law of God, we have transgressed the law of God, something we all are guilty of. The Bible speaks of mankind and says, all are guilty before God. Now that is how it is, yes, with you and I by nature and practice. We have broken God's law. Therefore, we are slaves to the guilt of our sin. By nature, we are slaves to the guilt of our sin and breaking the law of God. This slavery also means that man is under the power and under the dominion of sin. In other words, sin affects all the members of our body, and sin affects all the faculties of our soul. Speaking of man under the dominion of his sin, the psalmist says, they are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, and no, not one. My indeed, yes, left to ourselves, our bodies and our minds are controlled by sin. And my, they are enslaved by sin. Yes, sin is an awful plague of our hearts. My, speaking about this awful power of sin and this awful plague of sin in his own heart and life, the Apostle Paul, he said these words, he says, but I am carnal, sold under sin. In other words, he was enslaved to the dominion of sin. And my, you ask the question tonight, why is there so much crime in our society? Why is there so much lawlessness in our society? Why is there so much immorality in our society? And the reason is the power of sin, the dominion of sin in the lives of people around us in the world. Man is a slave to sin. He's a slave to the condemnation of his sin. He's a slave, yes, to the power and the dominion of his sin, but also the slavery also means that man is under the tyranny of Satan. He's under the tyranny of the evil one himself. You know, people today, they laugh and they mock at the reality of the devil and Satan. But you know, the devil is not to be laughed at. He's not to be mocked. He's not to be ignored. The Bible speaks of the reality of Satan, of the evil one, of the accuser. He is a fallen angel, but he has great power and he has great sway in people's hearts and lives. And friend, in the meeting tonight, if you're still unsaved, please realize tonight that you're under the control of the devil. You're under the control of Satan. Ephesians 2 verse 2 talks about sinful man, and this is how the Word of God describes sinful man. He says he is living, it says, according to the prince of the power of the air. And that means being under the control of Satan, under the dominion of the evil one, under his tyranny, being slave to his volitions and his wills. You look at what Christ said here to these unbelieving Jews. He reminds them of this very fact. Go down to verse 44 of the chapter. Notice what he says to them there. He says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Notice there how Christ reminds these unbelieving Jews that they were in Satan's domain. They were under Satan's tyranny and sway and power. And he says, you're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father, he says, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. You go down to the very last verse of the chapter. Notice what these unbelieving Jews tried to do to Christ. They tried there to murder him. For it says at the beginning of verse 59, it says, then took they up stones to cast at him. Why did they cast stones at Christ, the sinless Son of God? Because of the sway and the tyranny of the devil and the evil one in their hearts and lives. They were under his domain. They were under his tyranny. That's how it is with man and his sin. He is enslaved to the guilt of his sin, the power of his sin. He's also a slave to the tyranny of the evil one. But this slavery also that our text speaks of, it means that man, yes, is under the fear of death, and he is under the fear of judgment. You see, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Yes, after this life, there is judgment and hell for sin. And by the thought of such, it leads to fear. It leads to bondage.
And yes, there have been many people in their unsaved days when all is well, and they've lived without a fear, without a concern about death or eternity. But whenever they've come to die and to consider that they must face their Maker and meet God, that there is fear. There is a bondage. And the Bible speaks of such in Hebrews 2, verse 15. It says of them, it says, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Yes, friend, in our meeting tonight, yes, you may mock at sin and think little of hell, but whenever you come to die and face eternity, things will be different. You see, there's a fear of death. There's a fear of judgment that comes upon man when he comes to eternity and considers the great issues of eternity and must face his Maker because of his sin. Yes, we see here the meaning of this servitude to sin. What an awful enslavery it is to be under the guilt of sin, under the power, dominion of sin, to be under the tyranny of the evil one, and to be enslaved to fear and the fear of death, and the fear of judgment. Yes, we see the meaning of this servitude of sin, but not only do we see its meaning, notice secondly here in our text tonight, notice the reach of this servitude to sin. Look again at what Christ says in our text. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And in this chapter, yes, these words in the context of the chapter, they applied to these unbelieving Jews whom Christ was addressing in this chapter. And you cast your eye back to verse 3 of the very same chapter, you'll see that such there were scribes and Pharisees. It says, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. These are the very same people that Christ is addressing in our text, these scribes and these Pharisees. You know, such were a people who lived a very outward religious life. There was an outward veneer of religiosity about their life. Not only was there that outward veneer of religiosity, they were a people who had a great head knowledge of the Scriptures, of the Old Testament, of the law of God, of the things of God. But despite all their religious credentials, the thing to note here is their religion and their religious credentials did not make them exempt from this bondage and the servitude to sin that Christ speaks to them of and warns them about in our text when he says, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. But people, the thing for us to note tonight is that the servitude to sin, it just does not apply to these unbelieving Jews and no one else. No, that's not the case. Rather, this bondage and servitude to sin, it applies to all mankind. Right from the very beginning of time to the very end of time, until that occasion when time will be no more. You see, whenever our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden and ate the forbidden fruit, then through them, sin's bondage and sin's tyranny and servitude passed through them upon all mankind and to all mankind. You think of the words of Paul as he writes there in Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. He says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And through Adam and Eve, this bondage, this servitude of sin, is passed down throughout the generations of mankind, right to the very end of the world, right to the very end of the age itself. Highlighting this awful reality that affects us, it has been said by one of old, that the two greatest facts in life are sin and death. And sin is a reality. It affects all mankind. The bondage of sin is a reality that affects the hearts of all, whoever they are, wherever they are found, whatever their creed, their color, their class might be. You see, the only person ever to walk this world and to walk the scene of time without sin and without any bondage to sin was God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of righteousness. And the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was the spotless, flawless Son of God, without blemish, without sin, without fault. But dear friends, you and I, indeed all mankind, were born into this world with a sinful heart and a sinful nature. Psalmist David could say in Psalm 51, verse 5, he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He was speaking there that he was a sinner, that he was in bondage in the under the servitude of sin by nature. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." People, this is the truth of the Bible, the truth of the Scriptures, that all mankind is under the bondage, under the servitude of sin. You know, there are many people today in society, and many false religions. Indeed, there's many false clergy, and they deny the reality of sin in people's lives and people's hearts. They deny the bondage of sin and affecting the hearts and lives of people. Well, look at what Christ says in our text. Look at his exact words there in verse 34. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever," notice the word, "whosoever," that includes us all, "whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Yes, you and I, yes, we all are guilty of committing sin. Therefore, by nature, we are all slaves to sin. By nature, we're all under the servitude of sin. Dear friend, tonight, no matter who you are in this meeting tonight, dear friend, unsaved, realize this, that you're a slave to sin. You're under the servitude of sin, a slave to sin and Satan. And my, there's no telling where that slavery to sin will lead to in your heart and life. There's no telling what that slavery of sin will do and cause to break out in your heart and life before the Lord God of heaven. You see, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You turn in your Bible back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and notice what Christ says here about the heart of man, the sinful heart of man, that heart that is in bondage to and servitude to sin. Look at what he says in Matthew chapter 15 and the verse number 19. He says, "For out of the heart," notice it, "proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies." And notice those things that the Lord lists, and he says, where do they arise from? The heart of man, the sinful heart of man, the heart that is under the bondage and under the servitude of sin. My, that's the outworking, all these things of sin in the heart and life and soul of men and women. Oh, the outworking of sin. What an awful fruit this bondage and this servitude of sin brings and leads to in the hearts and lives of people. You notice again what Christ says in our text. He says, "Verily, verily." Underline those two words in our text. You could really translate those two words, "verily, verily," as "truly, truly." Christ was emphasizing the point here. He's saying, this is what is true. This is what is real concerning the heart of man. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." He was leaving the people that day without any excuse, that they were born into this world sinners by nature, sinners by practice, under the condemnation of sin, under the dominion of sin, in the devil's crowd, my going towards a lost eternity in hell itself for their sin. Man or woman, young person in our meeting tonight, unsaved, this is how it is with you if you're still unsaved, still without God's salvation in your heart and in your life and in your soul. You're under the bondage, under the servitude of sin. Yes, we see the meaning of the servitude, the reach of it. But notice finally tonight, notice the ending of this servitude to sin, the ending of it. Dear people, vain are all the attempts of self, and vain are all the attempts of man to liberate us from the bondage and servitude of sin. The psalmist was most right when he said that vain is the help of man. However, in God's grace and God's mercy, there is one. There's one who can liberate. There's one who can emancipate. There is one who can break the bondage of sin and all our lives. And who is that one? That one is God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And it's by Christ alone, by His atoning blood and by His death and blood shedding upon the cross of Calvary, that you and I can be set free and enter into this glorious liberty of the children of God. It's through Christ and Christ alone that we can be set free from the slavery and the bondage and the servitude of sin. Turning your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Look at what the apostle says to us here about this very fact. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice what he says, first of all, in verses 4 and 11 of the chapter. Hebrews 10, verses 4 and 11, he says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." Verse 11, "And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices," notice it, "which can never take away sins." There we see that the sacrifices of men and the ceremonies of men, the religious rites and ceremonies of men, cannot take away sin. They cannot break the bondage and the servitude of sin. But praise God, there's one who can, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what the apostle goes on to say of Christ in verses 12 and 14 of the same chapter. He says of Christ, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." In verse 14 he says, "For by one offering," in other words, by his sacrifice, by his death, by his blood shedding, "by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified," that is those who are saved from the bondage and the ruin and the awful plight of sin. Back in Hebrews 9, in the verse number 26, at the end of that verse, it says of Christ, "But now once in the end of the world have He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Dear friend, that's the one tonight who can save us from our sins. That has been the theme of the hymns that we've been singing already tonight in our meeting. Of Christ who saves, of Christ who liberates, of Christ who sets free from sin. The hymn writer says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is able and willing to deliver you and I from the servitude and the dominion and the slavery of our sins. That is why He came. That is why He came into this world. He says in Isaiah 61 verse 1 of Himself, He says, "The Lord have sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." He came to set lives free, hearts free, that have been ensnared and enslaved by sin. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the sinless Son of God. He is one who perfectly kept the law of God. Look at what He says about Himself there in verse 29 of John's Gospel, chapter 8. He says of His heavenly Father, "He that sent me is with me, and the Father have not left me alone, for I do always those things which please Him." He was perfect. He was without sin. There's no blemish in Christ. By Him going to the cross of Calvary as the sinless Son of God, and there He shed His blood, and there He laid down His life. The Bible says He gave His life a ransom for many. He laid down His life as a ransom to God. By the shedding of His precious blood, He purchased this glorious liberty from the slavery of sin for sinners like you and like me in the meeting here tonight. That is why the Apostle Paul could say, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." He spoke of that liberty that was found in Christ and in the redeeming work of Christ. What has been the price of this liberty? What has been the payment of this liberty? The precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless blood of the Lamb. Remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. He says, "For as much as ye know, that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish, a lamb without spot." And friend, it's by you coming in faith to Christ, coming just as you are, as a poor and needy sinner, as a repentant sinner to Christ, by you confessing your sins to Christ and trusting in Christ, leaning upon Christ, trusting upon the Lord, resting upon Him as Savior, that you can be saved from your sin and that you can be liberated from the awful bondage and servitude of your sin. Look at what Christ says in verse 36 of this same chapter. He says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." The hymn writer could say, "Liberty and gladness, Lord, I have found in thee." That is why Christ has come. That is why He's come in love and in mercy and grace to this sinful world. He came on a rescue mission to deliver us from the awful slavery and dominion and servitude of sin. And praise God, dear friend, whenever you come as a sinner to Christ and put your faith and your trust in Him, what does He do? He delivers you from the guilt of all your sins. He pardons all your sins. He forgives them all. He says, "I, even I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own name's sake." By His Spirit and grace, He changes your life. He breaks the fetters of sin and the dominion of sin, and He gives you grace to live the Christian life. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." He blots out your sin. He gives you grace to live for Him. He brings you out of the kingdom of darkness. He brings you into the kingdom of light, into God's family. The Bible says to every man, every woman, every child who trusts Christ as Savior, He makes them the adopted children of God. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And then He'll save you from the fear of death, the fear of judgment, and the fear of hell. And He gives you a hope, a great hope, a glorious hope, an eternal hope, the hope of heaven. And whenever you get to heaven, you'll be free from the presence of sin forever and ever and ever. Oh, that is why Paul could say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That is why Paul could speak of a desire having to depart this world, the scene of time. He says, "To be with Christ, which is far better." Men and women, young people, this is the glorious liberty that is found in Christ. It's the greatest of all liberties. No liberty like it. To know your sins forgiven. To know God's grace in your life. To be in the family, in the fold of God. And to look forward to heaven. Look forward to glory. Friend, this is what Christ can do for you. If only you will come to Him and you will trust Him. He says there again in verse number 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Notice that little word "indeed." It means this is liberty that is real. This is liberty that is certain. There's many people in the world and say, "Oh, to live for sin and for self in the world, that's liberty." It's not. It's bondage. It's the devil's deception. It's the devil's lie. But true liberty, real liberty, joy and gladness, is found in Christ and knowing Christ and trusting Christ the Savior. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, realize your need as a sinner before the Lord. Come unto Christ and trust Him, whom to know is life eternal. We'll close.